One of the things that I often think about when I drive into the church, or when I'm looking at the church website, or when I'm thinking about things of the church, is the church has always had kind of a theme since I've been here. Real people changed lives. You might have seen that on different things. I believe it's on the signs as you drive in here or come in the building. But one of the things that I was thinking about that real people changed lives is that far too often, I think we can find ourselves failing at both. Failing at both. Failing to be real people, real genuine people, and failing to change daily. Failing to change monthly, maybe. Failing to allow the Lord to give us a new direction, allow the Lord to give us something fresh, something new, something to move forward in our walk, in our growth with Him. And I'm not talking about that initial change, you know, that when we come to Him, the change of coming out of the sinful world into a relationship with Him, but a daily change, seeking Him out. And I also realized, you know, and it's for my own life as well, that so often in life, we view the world around us as we wish it was. We view the world around us as we wish it was and not how it really is. And our choices that we make and our reactions to what's going on around us and to the people around us is based on the reality of how we think things should be. And maybe even how we think we should be. And, you know, and I'm not talking about being optimistic here. Being optimistic is really good. Being optimistic and sometimes, you know, giving people the benefit of the doubt, these are good things. These are important things. But what I'm talking about is being blind to the world around us, being blind to maybe where we're at, to the point where what is guiding us in life is actually a skewed view of reality. And rather than allowing truth to guide us, we're actually allowing the way we perceive things, which could be wrong, to guide us through life. You know, at my job, you know, we're tasked with testing equipment and software upgrades before they go out into Albertson's stores. You know, we have to make sure that we can touch just about everything that we can before they go out there. You know, be able to make sure that they work, you know, because they're going to go into a live store environment. And sometimes, like most recently, I'm working on things that have to do with payments, like, you know, where you slide your Visa or MasterCard, debit card. You know, these are things that are important. You don't want those things to not work. And one of the things that I tell the people in our test lab is that if you don't know something, if you really don't know it, and you really don't know how to test it, and you really don't know how it works, you need to tell me so that we could figure it out. You know, in some jobs, you just kind of pretend. You know, you just try and get through it, you know, and make do. You know, there's a lot of people in the company that I work for that do that. But in our area, it's important that you don't do that. It's important that you actually say, hey, you know what, I don't know this. You know, I don't know how to do this. Let's figure it out. And that's, you know, that's one of the things that we need to do. And I harp on that a lot, because if we don't, something's going to get missed. You know, and if pride for someone is standing in the way of us testing it right, you know, that's going to come back on all of us. There are many things that I don't understand about life. You know, there's probably many things that you don't understand about life. Would somebody be able to turn that off? Back there. All right. Why is this happening? No. You know, there are so many things that I don't understand. You know, there are things that break my heart. The things that make me really angry. Last week, Roy talked about things being fair, you know, and for me, you know, when I look at fair, you know, if things were fair, you know, I would think I wouldn't deal with depression, you know, anxiety, you know, fear of people. You know, I would think that being fair would mean that I would be rewarded at my job for doing a great job, and that people who are lazy wouldn't get rewarded. That, to me, would be fair. Well, life isn't always fair. There's so many things that I could sit here and say, you know, this isn't fair or that isn't fair. There's so many things that I could be caught up on and say, you know, life is not fair. And I want you to think right now about the things maybe that you think aren't fair. You know, and not just some of the obvious ones, but some of the ones that maybe are keeping you from moving forward. Some of the things that maybe you're dwelling on. And some of these things that, you know, we wish so much that life could be a certain way. We wish so much that we could be a certain way, that we were almost blinded to the fact that we need to turn these things over to the Lord. You know, and there's issues that I get so angry with, and sometimes I just say, or I feel like, you know, saying these questions, why does it have to be like this? And, you know, and maybe you've been there, I'm sure you've been there, why does it have to be this hard? Why does it have to be this hard? Why does life have to be so hard? You know, there's an answer to that, but yet still, you know, sometimes that doesn't click. You know, even if there's a logic to something, it's just, you know, it's not something that we could just always understand and know. You know, even my kids have said that. You know, it breaks my heart when they've said that, you know, Daddy, why does it have to be so hard? And I'm like, I feel the same way, you know, and I try and come up with a good answer, you know, but in all these things, you know, maybe you can relate, maybe there's things that in your life right now that you think aren't fair, but no matter what it is, the key to these questions that makes all the difference, that if you're being consumed by them, if you're frustrated by them and you're getting angry and bitter, is what are we going to do with these questions? What are we going to do with the fact that the world is not fair? You know, because we have to do something. Otherwise, we get stuck. And what starts to happen is that we start to develop a chip on our shoulder towards the world. A chip on our shoulder towards even the people that we care about, the people that we come in contact with. You know, it's just kind of an attitude of, you know, the world owes me. The world, society, people have wronged me, and now they owe me, you know. Now they owe me because, you know, I deserve it. You know, the television commercials will always tell you that you deserve, you know, the newest car. They'll tell you that you deserve all the best things. And then the world will try and kill you. So, you know, you have to realize that things aren't fair. And the question is, what are we going to do with them? You know, we have a choice that we can bring these things to the Lord. You know, regardless of whether, you know, we all say, hey, it's fair or it's not fair, we bring it to the Lord and we say, Lord, you know, take this from me, and we must seek him. Otherwise, we're just going to fester in it. We're just going to fester in this frustration that life is not fair. We're going to fester, and even if it's something that legitimately we would all say, that is not fair, you know, it still can just bring us down. And we can wait all day, we'll wait our whole lives for it to change. But it won't unless we give it to the Lord. And, you know, not necessarily is he going to change the circumstance. Not necessarily is he going to make things what we would think is fair. But he will most certainly give us a peace and a love that only he can give. And he'll change our outlook and our perspective. He'll give us joy in the midst of sorrow. He'll allow us to praise him in the toughest and most terrible of times. We can only do that, though, when we give it to him and view the world, ourselves, in a real way. Now, Facebook. Get out the rotten vegetables to throw at me. I'm going to talk about Facebook here. Facebook is an example to me of a place often that people air their dirty laundry about how life is not fair. Okay? Now, and I'm not saying that Facebook is all bad. You know, there are things that Facebook allows for us to be in contact with people we might not normally do. It can bring up legitimate prayer concerns and a way for us to support one another. But, you know, a lot of times what I'm talking about here is the kind of posts that basically screams, the world owes me. The world owes me, and I'm angry about it. The world owes me. And, you know, maybe not, doesn't say that specifically, but you could totally read through it. It's just like, I am mad, and I'm frustrated, and the world owes me, you know? And, you know, no one here, but somebody posted, maybe, no, somebody posted something recently, and, you know, it did break my heart, and, you know, I prayed for this person, but he posted that he gets angry and almost like violent tendencies when he sees kids playing with their parents, playing with their father. Need some help there, John? There we go. It's all good. So this post is basically he's saying he gets really angry, violent tendencies almost, when he sees kids playing with their father, and maybe it was their parents, but like specifically because his parents abandoned him, you know, which makes me very sad, you know, and that basically, you know, the world owes him because he's been dealt a terrible hand of cards, and it's just terrible. And, you know, I want to say, you know, do you think about these things before you post them? And not just with him, but with a lot of people. You know, I want to say, did you read that back before you posted it? You know, and these are the types of things, you know, some terrible stuff. But the world doesn't owe us anything. You know, we wish it did. You know, and some of us have been dealt terrible hands. You know, the question is, what are we going to do with it? Are we going to fester in it? Or are we going to move forward? You know, I'm not trying to be unsympathetic. You know, if there's something that truly needs prayer and support, you know, I want to be all over it. But how often are these crises in our life because we are refusing to change our outlook on how life really is? How often are we just so hung up on things because we refuse to change how we see the world around us? You know, I have actually had things in my life that I have been so mad about and almost even audibly said, Lord, I'm not giving this to you because I'm not going to acknowledge it because it should not be this way. You know, and maybe you've been there. Maybe you haven't said it like I have actually said to the Lord, but maybe you felt that way. You know, I'm not giving this to you because I'm not going to acknowledge it, because I'm not even going to give it credit, because that's not the way it should be. Life shouldn't be like this. But you know what? It's still there. This issue is still there, and it may not be fair, but, you know, it comes down to my decision, your decision daily, whether we're going to turn that over to him or we're going to let it consume us. You know, and like I said, even if by all standards each of us voted and decided something is just not fair, by us complaining about it and saying it's not fair is not going to change it. We have to have a desire to want a peace about these things in our life. We have to have a desire to want to be able to change our outlook. Otherwise, you know, we're just, as I said, we're going to fester in it, and we're going to think that life owes us. You know, and this is an inaccurate view of how life is. The world is not a fair place. And, you know, talking about taking a vote, if I handed out a piece of paper to each of you that had one question on it, is life and this world always fair? Yes or no? You know, I think that I would receive back all no's, you know? And if you gave me a yes, I would give it back to you and say, you know, let's think about this. Did you think about that before you answered? But we know that. Life is not fair. So the question is, why do we live our lives as though it is? I want you to think about that. If we know life is not fair, then why do we live our life in such a way that we think it is fair? You know, it should be an advantage to us to know going into it that life is not fair. Going to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and allowing him to give us comfort and peace, putting our fate in his hands, not the the hands of chance in this world, but actually turning over our lives to him, saying, Lord, you know, I know life is not fair. I know I work hard and I may not be rewarded, but Lord, give me peace in the midst of that. You know, the thing that I think about fairness is that if you've ever played the original Nintendo, the Nintendo is one of the first TV gaming consoles. And if you had the original Nintendo or you played the original Nintendo like I did growing up, you quickly learned that life was not fair. Now, and I say that because when you played these original Nintendo games, we were, in a sense, the guinea pigs of gamers. Okay? They had not refined the process of making a game accurate, which means one game I'm thinking of in particular is Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That I was never able to beat it. It's on my life list of things to do before I die, is to beat that game. And it's one of those games where if you ran into a friend and they said, oh, yeah, I beat it, I'd be like, no, you haven't. And you're going to show me. And then they would play the first level and totally die. And, you know, and this was a time where they didn't have a saved game. You know, you couldn't save your game so that you have to go to dinner and come back. You could resume where you were playing. Like, now my kids are spoiled, you know. They can save their game and come back. But it wasn't built right. And I would be going along, you know, and I'd make a jump. And there's these spikes on the ground that you have to avoid. And I would clearly not touch them. Like, not even close. And then it would kill you. It would be like, you know, your turtle would die, and then you'd be down to three turtles because you have four turtles. But you knew that in this game, if you try and go through this game with three turtles, you might as well push the reset button and start over. And so I would go into like a rage, you know. I would throw my controller. I'd break my, you know, try and break it. I couldn't because I was a little kid, you know. I'd be so mad, and I'd be so frustrated, and I'd go to my mom, and her answer would be, well, maybe you shouldn't play it, you know. But that wasn't the answer that I wanted. I wanted it to be fair. I wanted it to be right, you know. And I wasn't mad because I failed, because, you know, I could try a game over and over again, you know, for hours and hours. I could try it. I could go for hours, get to one spot that I keep, you know, failing on, and then, oh, I got past that part, and then hours and hours more. You know, I'm resilient like that. But what bothered me so much was that I realized this wasn't right. It wasn't fair. And I would do everything that I knew to do right, and I would do it right. You know, some people would say, yeah, right, you're just bad at it. No, I was good at it. And you could clearly see the gap between me jumping over what got me. And, you know, this is just an example of one of the games. And that was a lesson for me that things were not fair. Things were not fair. I realized that, you know, and that was frustrating to me. And that's how I feel about some of the things in life. And maybe that's how you feel about some things. It's like, I'm doing it right. You know, I'm doing it the way I should. You know, sometimes maybe we're not, and we have an unrealistic view of ourselves, that many times we are doing it right. We are doing what we're supposed to do, but yet terrible things come upon us and our families. It's frustrating. It's not fair. It's frustrating. And like I said, you know, I think it's better, well, I know it's better for us to put our fate and our life in the hands of a powerful God who loves us and created us, rather than trying to live by the rules of the world, getting frustrated because things are not fair, getting frustrated because things aren't going our way, you know? Like I said, it should be an advantage for us to be able to go in knowing the dangers of this world, knowing the dangers of what's out there. You know, I always think of it as playing with a poisonous snake. Like a cobra, a king cobra, for example. You know, you could have it in a cage, and you could feed it, and you could sing to it, you know. You could say nice things to it. You could play some nice music for it. But then when you got it out to play, what is it going to do? It's going to bite you. That's right. You know, and that's like life. We play in life's playground, you know. You know, we think we're doing all right, and then it bites us. You know, the king cobra, no matter what you do with it, it's going to bite you. You know, you can maybe be fast enough to dodge it. There's some people stupid enough to actually try and do that. I've seen the videos. And it's not very smart, but it's going to bite you eventually. And you know, what we find ourselves doing is that we find ourselves in a situation where we're saying, why did this happen to me? Why? You know, obviously we're in pain because we've just been bitten by a snake. And we're yelling, why did this happen to me? Why does it have to be like this? It's not fair. And I would say, well, you were playing with a poisonous snake. You know? You're playing with a poisonous snake and you got bit. And you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. I wish there was a you reap what you sow button on Facebook. You reap what you sow, buddy. You know? And like I said, I'm not trying to be unsympathetic. I hope you know where I'm coming from here. It's just like sometimes you could clearly see, you know, in this example, you clearly read the post and you're like, you know, I remember you played with a snake. You know, there's consequences to everything that we do in life, and they come back to us. And then when we're in the middle of the consequences, we say, why did this happen to me? You know, why is this happening? And it's like, well, you played with a snake. Probably did. I guess singing to it didn't do any good. 2 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. But what I do, I will also continue to do, that I may cut off the opportunity from those who desire an opportunity to be regarded as we are in the things of which they boast. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works. There are several examples that we need to realize of where the Lord is warning us about the world. The Lord is warning us that there are plenty of people in this world, and including the enemy in this world, who are wanting to lead us astray. You know, sometimes they don't realize it, but there are many dangerous things in this world that if we are not focused on the Lord, if we are not looking to him, he's going to lead us astray. And like I said, there's consequences to that. It's going to lead us down the wrong path. It's going to take us in the wrong direction. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him. For he cares for you. Be sober and vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, established, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. We must humble ourselves before him. Humble ourselves. You know, that means that we need to be honest. Honest. Honest about where you're at with your struggles. You know, coming at it with that everything and everyone owes me attitude is not going to work. Humble yourselves. Be honest. And it says that, you know, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Casting all of our care upon him. You know, so many times we try and do it ourselves. We try and pave through this life, and we think we have a plan, and we're going to do it ourselves, and we're not being sober, we're not being vigilant, we're not being cautious and careful with this world. You know, we're just charging through this world, this life, you know, thinking, oh, life is going to be fair to me, you know, as long as I play it right. Well, unless we're playing it right with Jesus Christ, things are not going to go our way. And even when we are under the protection of Jesus Christ, things may not go our way. The question is have we given that to him? Is he going to give us that peace? Matthew 7:15 through 20. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree, bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits, you will know them. You know, where are we placing our well-being? Where are we placing our trust? Is it in the hands of our Savior, or our own hands, or the world's? Unknowingly, the devil's, the enemy. There are so many things that can lead us astray, and we have to realize the gravity of the situation is that we are in the middle of a war. And on the opposite side of God is a commander, is a general leading this army. And they're not trying to help you. They're trying to destroy us. You know, this isn't just a friendly game of some kind. The devil is out to destroy you and your family. The devil is out to put a wedge between you and God. Put a wedge between you and those who you love. To put a wedge between you and those who we are supposed to minister to. To put a wedge between those who normally you would think, oh, you know, I'll always have a good relationship with them. The devil is seeking to destroy that. He is seeking to destroy any relationship that we have with God and the people around us. But there is hope in all of this. You know, these are some scripture examples of where we need to be wary of the dangers that are out there, to be realistic of the things that we walk through every day. There's hope, but where are we looking for that hope? Are we looking for it in the wrong place? Where are we looking for that guidance? You know, in the midst of craziness, depression, you know, unfairness and hurt, pain, suffering, in the midst of all these things, you know, there is someone who will see us through, and that's Jesus Christ. He will. But are we trying to do it without him? You know, are we trying to do it in a way that, like I said, you know, Lord, I'm not going to acknowledge that, so I'm not going to give it to you. You know, I'm just going to try and wait for things to be fair. I'm going to wait for things to even out. You know, back to when I was a kid again, you know, you learn so much as you're growing up about life and how things work. You know, I was younger, and my parents and I would often go over to another family member's house for dinner, whether it be a social gathering, you know, for, you know, a celebration or a birthday, something like that, or just, you know, getting together for the heck of it. And we would go have food over there, and I'm sure you guys can all relate to going over to someone's house. And, you know, this person made some food, I remember one specific time, and it was absolutely horrible. It was absolutely terrible. Like, one of the worst things I've tasted. I don't think it was all the way cooked. You know, I mean, I was like probably, you know, maybe Courtney's age at the time, you know. And but I remember this was horrible. But, you know, I was always, you know, kind of by nature a nice kid. You know, obviously I had my devious side. But so I ate as much as I could stomach, even though I was like, man, is this going to kill me? You know, I'm thinking, it's going to kill me. And so, and I could tell everybody else, you know, my parents, you know, everybody else who came to this thing, they're just like, this is awful. You know, this is absolutely terrible. And so I ate as much as I could. And then, and I was like, man, I'll just eat as much as I could. And then I'll rush it over and throw it away real quick. And nobody will know the difference. And so did everybody else. Everybody else did that. You know, everybody got rid of it. And everybody was like, all right, now we can move on with life, you know. But then this person, she corners me and she says, how was the food? You know, and, you know, did you like it? And would you have it again? I think something she said, you know. And I said, no, I wouldn't. I said that because, you know, my perspective of life was that you'd be honest in those situations. I wasn't like, oh, my gosh, you're the worst person ever, and I hate you, and I didn't like your food either, you know. I was just, you know, it was an honest question. How did you like the food, you know? And I said I didn't really like it. I wouldn't want it again, you know. And that was the wrong answer. You know, you could imagine. And this person started talking about how, you know, I work so hard to make this. I always work so hard to make this. You know, I put together these family events, and I work so hard to make this happen. I worked all day for this, you know, because I care about you, and that's how you repay me. And me, even as a child, to this day, I remember thinking, you know what? All that you just said is fluff. That means absolutely nothing when we're dealing with the question at hand. Did you like the food? No, I didn't. I respect you. I love you, even. And I'm appreciative of all that you do. I was even thinking as a young child, you know, I'm appreciative of all you do and what you've done for the family and getting us all together, but the food still is bad. And so, you know, we go through life sort of with that attitude. You know, we go through life looking at things how we wish they were. She wished things were they tasted better, that we would have liked it, maybe that we would have gave her some praise for it, you know? But it has nothing to do with us being appreciative. But yet, we somehow mold those things together, you know? Our identity becomes twisted in how we wish things were. Our identity becomes twisted in how our view of this world and our view of ourselves, you know? And it becomes tainted because, you know, we wish so much that it could be a certain way, that we actually are wrong in the way we respond to life. John 16, 32 through 33 says, "Indeed, the hour is coming, yes, has now come, that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Here he is clearly telling us, he's warning us even, saying the world is going to give you tribulation. Tribulation will come your way. It's not tribulation might come your way, look out. It's that if you have a desire to serve me, he says, then tribulation will come your way. But what does he say? Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. I wish there was a be of good cheer button on Facebook. I would use that as well. But you know, and the thing about Facebook too that I always think is so backwards is that somebody's talking about something that's just absolutely terrible. You know, maybe somebody died or they're having a terrible time. And it's just like this awful thing, you know, and I'm just like, man, that breaks my heart. 50 people have liked this, you know? It's backwards, you know? There's just, I don't know, make a comment and say, man, I'm with you. Don't just say, I like that, you know? You know, I'm not going to change the Facebook world, but that just seems wrong to me, you know? I'm having a horrible time, and my dog just died. I like that, you know? I don't know. But it's sort of what I've been talking about too, is that we get so disconnected with the world that rather than actually reaching out to somebody, it's so much easier just to push a button that says like, you know, I like that, you know, that's awesome. You know, it's not awesome. It's terrible. Let's reach out and say, hey, I'm with you. Or maybe don't push the like button. I don't know. It's up to you guys, but that's just me. Be of good cheer. That's what he says. Be of good cheer in the midst of all of this craziness. And the question is, are you of good cheer in the midst of this craziness? Are you of good cheer? You know, are we complacent and stagnant? Are we growing daily? Or are we stuck? You know, and maybe there's something that you're bitter about, angry about. Maybe it's an issue of forgiveness. Maybe you haven't forgiven somebody. Maybe you haven't forgiven yourself. Maybe you just haven't, like I was talking about, maybe you haven't come to the place where you accepted reality as it is. Maybe you haven't come to the place where you actually realize how things really are with your life, how things really are in this world. You know, a lot of you know that I'm into technology, somewhat, a lot. Tech companies are always trying to redefine how we use computers, devices, and software. You've probably seen that. You know, even Facebook will all of a sudden have this, you know, huge update and changes everything, you know. And throughout my life, I've found myself, you know, no matter what it was, no matter what update, you know, to a device, to a computer, to, you know, the software, no matter what it was, I would embrace it and I'd be excited about it. And I'd be like, you know, what's the newest change? And even if it wasn't that great, you know, I'd be all over it. I'd be like, you know, I'll stick it out to see what's next so that I could jump on what's the, you know, the great thing that'll come next, you know. I always, almost an OCD thing, that it would be hard for me to function in life if I didn't have the latest, you know, update to whatever it was. Now, recently, not that long ago, I have this program that I use on the computer, and they did an update for it, and it took away the sidebar that I'm used to. And I was so mad. I was like, you know, I'm so frustrated. I was like, you know, why are they doing this to me? You know, it's a dramatic moment. You know, why are they doing this to me? I'm even saying, you know, why do they have to constantly tell me how to use my computer? You know, why do they have to constantly change things when I know it's good? You know, why do they have to do this? You know, and so I found a way to get my sidebar back, but I was all miffed and upset. You know, and then I stopped and thought about it, and I thought, does this mean I'm getting old? And I thought, man, this is crazy. I used to, you know, embrace these kind of changes. But now, you know, I'm like, ah, oh, you know, I like it the old way. But in regards to technology, if we hold out too long with some of these changes, you know, we're going to be outdated. You know, if we hold out too long and, you know, if I'm stubborn and I hold out long enough, you know, I'm going to be outdated, not supported. You know, whatever I'm using, it's just going to be obsolete. You know, someone at my work has an older phone. It's one of the original iPhones. It's like one of the second one that came out. And every time I look at it, I'm like, you know, this is so old school. I'm like, this is so old. You need to update this. And she can update it for free. She gets her phone from the company, and I'm just like, you need to update this. You know, it just bothers me. And she's like, oh, it works for me. That doesn't work for me. But if we are so stubborn, and you know I'm talking about technology, but really, if we are so stubborn in our lives that we are unwilling to allow God to change us, if we are so stubborn in our ways that we are unwilling to be honest about something that maybe we need correction on, something that we need growth in, if we are unwilling to allow the Lord to change our lives, then we're not going to be updated. We're not going to be equipped. We're not going to be fresh, you know. And there might be something new that comes along that the Lord wants for our lives, something new that he wants us to do. But yet we're not updated. We're not ready to go. We're not equipped. You know, we're stuck in our stubborn ways that we are not ready to move forward. And you may say, oh, well, those stubborn old ways work for me. You know what? You know, that's fine. But if you are so stubborn that you're unwilling to see the things around us, we're going to also be unwilling to allow the Lord to change us. You know, and I'm not saying, okay, you know, when you leave here, make sure you go update your computers. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that when you leave here, make sure that you're allowing God to update you. Make sure that you're allowing the Lord to be a fresh presence in your life every day. Don't let that original change that you made at an altar or, you know, before bed or wherever it was, at a camp or with friends or by yourself, that original commitment that you made to Jesus Christ, don't let that change be what, you know, keeps you for the rest of your life. It doesn't work that way. You need to change. You need to be fresh. Otherwise, these dangers that I've been speaking about are going to snatch you up. You know, it says the devil, you know, goes around looking for someone to devour. And you know what? You may not see him, and it may not be obvious, but it means that he is setting you up for a strike. You know, and we have to be on guard. And if we're unwilling to change, if we're unwilling to move forward in him, that really will become a barrier. You know, I, like I said, depression. I get caught up on that all the time. You know, that's a real example for me of things that I just say, you know, that is not fair. You know, and it's one of those things where unless you experience it, you know, you don't understand it. You know, there's things that in your life, maybe, you know, I haven't experienced and I don't understand, but you're going through it. And maybe you think it's not fair, you know, but when, you know, everything is great, I have a great family, you know, great church, great kids, you know, everything is really great. But then I wake up in the morning and I feel terrible and everything is just, you know, falling apart. And then I'm like, what's falling apart? Nothing. But I'm still down. That's not fair. You know, so we all have these things in our life that we could say are not fair. And me, you, we have a choice. Are we going to do something about that? Or are we going to wait for it to fix itself? Because it's not going to fix itself. Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness and greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. See, this is not just talking about one specific change that you can ride out for the rest of your life. This is talking about a change daily, embracing the new person that God is creating in us, embracing the new person that God wants to bring us to, a constant change, a constant moving forward in him, embracing that new person and putting away the old, sinful, selfish, corrupt person that we are without Jesus, that we are without his redeeming power. It's about being able to move forward in new, an update, and not be stuck in the old. And if you're finding yourself stuck, if you're finding yourself just stagnant, you know, it means you're not growing. It means you're not moving forward. If you find yourself in just a place that maybe you're frustrated and tired, you know, maybe you don't feel fresh in that relationship. Well, it's time to seek him out. You know, ask for a fresh start, a fresh new beginning to seeking him out and growing. Continuing in Ephesians 4, 25 through 32. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, and he may have something to give him who is in need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Truth is truth, whether we like it or not. Truth is truth, whether we like it or not. You know, there's such a mindset in the world now that says, my truth is my truth and your truth is your truth. I'm sure you've heard that or you've seen that principle that basically like, well, it might be true for you, but it's not true for me. You know, there are things where, you know, I might like a food that you may not like, you know. And the fact that I like that food and you don't, that's true. But, you know, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about universal truths of who the Lord is, universal truths of the fact that there is only one way to heaven, that what he says, what he has given to us in the Bible is factual, that it is what we should believe and it is what we should follow. And truth is truth, whether we want it to be or not. It says that we need to be honest with our neighbors. That's key. Honest with our neighbors. Present yourself as being who you really are. Present yourself not as someone who you wished you were. And I'm not saying don't strive to be someone better. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying don't strive to be someone who grows in the Lord daily. That's important. But don't present yourself as someone you're not. Be honest. Just like I said at the beginning, if there's something that needs to be done at my work, in my department, if someone doesn't know, they need to tell me. You know, and we need to be honest with each other because we're supposed to support each other and be there for each other, be able to minister to each other. And we can't do that if we don't have the facts. Now, I'm not saying, you know, just go, you know, spill your life story to everybody that you see. You know, you don't need to do that. But if there is somebody that you present yourself to in a way, make sure it's correct. Make sure it's right. Make sure it's truthful. Truth is truth, no matter whether we want it to be or not. That one day with my family, it was bad food. Whether my family member wanted it to be good or not, nothing was going to change that. You know, and it's just, and that's resounded in me my entire life. That no matter, I'm just thinking, no matter how much you want that to be different, you know, no matter how much you want something to be changed, no matter how much you wish things were a certain way in this world, you know, it may never come that way. It may never be the way you want it to be. And we could either, you know, frankly, get over it. Get over it. Give it to Jesus and move on. Or we can stew in it for the rest of our lives, wishing and hoping that something might change that circumstance. You know, in this, it's interesting, this idea of, you know, truth is truth to you, truth, you know, your truth is your truth, my truth is my truth, has been around for a long time, even in Jesus' time. John 18:33-38, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." Then Pilate said to him, "What is truth?" And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, "I find no fault in him at all." What kind of answer is that? What is truth? You know, isn't that how we present, or that's how we go through life sometimes? It's like, basically he's saying, "I don't want to deal with this." That's what he was saying. "I don't want to deal with this." And he even says he washes his hands of it and he walks away. "I don't want to deal with truth. I don't want this. What is truth anyway?" You know, that's what he was saying. And so are we coming to those kind of crossroads in our life where there's something, you know, "I just don't want to deal with it. I just don't want to have anything to do with it. I'm going to wash my hands and hope that it resolves itself. Here he's even saying, you know, "I'm going to turn you back over to these people so that they can do what they want, but I have no part in it." He's avoiding it. Truth is truth, whether we want it to be or not. Here we see it. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Are you of the truth? Do you seek out the truth, even if you don't like it? Even if you don't like it. If you're caught up on something today, maybe you think something's not fair, today's the day to give it to Him. If you're frustrated with something, you know, if you have some unforgiveness in your heart, if you have frustration about maybe another person, about or maybe just this world, about how it's treating you, maybe your job, you know, like some of my frustrations maybe. You know, whatever it is that you are frustrated about, you know, it's time that we deal with it. It's time that we say, okay, you know what, this is a reality in my life. This is hard for me. This is something that is difficult that I'm not able to get past. Now, Lord, help me to be able to have peace about it. It's time to give Him those things. It's time to turn those things over to Him. You know, and obviously you have to decide to do so. I can't make you do it. But today is the day to make that happen if you want to make it happen. Today is the day for us to drop out of our cloud that we live in sometimes and see reality for what it is. You know, this is a dangerous place that we live in. We are in a war zone. And you could say, what is truth? And you can walk away and you can hide away, but you are still in the middle of a war zone. It's a situation where, you know, you may not want to do anything about it. But really, you know, we don't really have a choice. Either we're going to do something about it and we're going to move forward in Him, or we're going to be miserable. We're going to be miserable. Heather, if you are in there, I think. Yeah. If you want to bring something before Him, or if you want prayer, you know, let me know. But don't put it off any longer. You know, there's so many things that it would be easy just to, you know, say, hey, I hope this resolves itself. But it's not going to unless you do something about it. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the sacrifice that you have made for us, Lord. Thank you so much that you love us. Thank you so much that you died for us and that you want to constantly be a part of our lives. Lord, I thank you for seeing me through hard times and dark times. Lord, I thank you for what you've done with everyone in here, Lord. Lord, help us to not be stagnant and stuck in our growth. Help us to not be so stubborn and unwilling to change that we're failing to see what you have for us. Help us to be honest with one another. Help us to be honest with ourselves, and help us to be honest with you, Lord. Help us to be able to put you first in all situations. And Lord, help us to heed your words and be ready for this world. Help us to understand that this is a very dangerous place and that we need to put you first for protection, Lord. Lord, if there's anyone in here who's struggling with any of these things that we've been talking about, Lord, I ask that you just reach out to them right now in Jesus' name. I ask that you allow us to be able to bring you these hurts and these pains that maybe we don't want to deal with, these things that maybe we tell ourselves just maybe will work out themselves. Lord, help us to realize that only you can see us through. Only you can give us this peace and the love that deep down we all desire. Lord, help us to make that commitment to you today, to turn over all the things, all the rooms of our life and all the things that we maybe have hidden away. Let it be open to you today, Lord, and just see us through. Protect us from the enemy, Lord, as a church and as individuals. See us through and allow us to continue forward loving and serving you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. Hey. Lay it all down again to hear you say that I.
Thinking, you know, this isn't fair, or things like that. You know, we need to think about, you know, He wants us to praise His name, even in those times that we don't think that we're getting what we need to be getting, or, but He just wants us to praise Him, and He wants us to give Him that glory. And, you know, and God can work those things out. God can make things right, and God can give us, you know, even if He doesn't make those things right, He can give us peace, and He can give us peace in our hearts about those things. And He just wants our praise and our worship. So you're dismissed.